Okay, Shabbat Shalom. I guess we could blow the trumpet. Let me make this a little lower. There you go. And here we are on Pentecost. Put this up here. And we got to put the study up. There you go. Well, welcome to One of Messiah Congregation, and Hope Joe, you can hear me wherever you are. I think you're the only one that's there. Can you hear me? Okay, great. And I think the video is playing, I believe. I hope it is. We're One of Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, and today is another Sabbath, and we're having a little bit of downpour here, which is nice. On Maple Street, and there's my email, there's the website. Today is June 4th, 2017, 21st century, and today's Sunday. And believe it or not, there's another Sabbath, so it's the... I was thinking about the Feast of Harvest. No one around here, I don't think... I've never seen any wheat yet, but somebody must be growing wheat somewhere. So that's what it's all about, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Weeks, and Pentecost means 50 and... in Greek. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, forgive us for any sin, any blemish, any spot, knowing that you see us, you hear us, you watch us, and you observe us. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you. You're a holy, living God, a righteous God, and I just praise and thank you for another Shabbat, and I thank you that we've completed the 7 weeks, Lord and God, and now we're on Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And I thank you that we could be here today. May you strengthen everyone, heal everyone, help everyone. And I pray, Lord and God, you'll bind every devil away from our congregation. Give us total shalom today. I thank you for everything you do for us. And may you do more for us, living God, as we keep your commandments and do exactly what you want us to do, the way you want us to do it. May God bless every one of you. May God be with you. And may God bless this day in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, let's see here. This is offering time, and I thank everyone for the offerings that they have sent to our congregation. And this is one of the three feasts that I guess we do that. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. That's besides all the other free will offerings you'd like to give or any other offerings you'd like to give during the year. But these are the main ones, I guess. Well, it's Sivan 8. And that month is going to fly by. It's pretty amazing. I think I said it was June. What did I say? It was June. It changed June 4th, right. It's pretty amazing. It seems like when you turn around, everything flies by. This is the, let's see. This is the seventh Sabbath week we were told to count. We did it. And now it's, of course, the 50th day. And it's nice to know, you know, reading about everything we read yesterday about how the children of Israel are so wicked and they never want to do what God said. It's really, it's just amazing to me, you know, to be the way God wants us to be. I know it's very hard for us to do in this lifestyle that we live in, this whatever we created out here that's called our life. But God is totally different. And I almost wish I was back there in those days. I would have been nice to see everything and experience everything, because now all we do is read about it. And we miss of course, we do the seven-week journey spiritually and, you know, receiving the Ten Commandments and the law and the Holy Spirit, which is very important. And so it's very sad. Some people have left us, like I was saying yesterday. It's sad to say that, but... And did you overcome anything, you know? That's really important to understand. Did you, Satan try to trick you with anything or anything happened? That's for you to talk to God about, because we always lose people at the feast. And this is the giving of the law and the Spirit of God, and that's really important. So the giving of the law, I'd like to read Exodus 20. You could either follow me on the screen or read your Bible. And this is God spoke, and this is very important. That always makes me pause. God speaks on all these words saying, I am Yehovah thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it's very hard to understand that because none of us, I don't believe, were ever in bondage in Egypt. But we were in our last lives of sin, which is spiritually like that. And we have to try to shed all those things that we used to be in and act like a new creature, a new person, born again into the Spirit of the living God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the children of Israel seemed like they had a real hard time because they, reading Judges last night, boy. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord, because everything's in the sight of the Lord. Thou shalt make no, it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I never understood that verse, water under the earth, but somewhere. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God. And he really is. It's a scary thing when you think about, we're talking about the God of the universe. Sometimes I wonder how he puts up with us, but we're still here, thank God. And I always ask him for, you know, we don't do things willfully, I know that. For I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God. He's jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. So that's a very good commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain. For Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. And just think, all the people that do that, all the people you know and all the, I don't know, just tomorrow, today is a day they're definitely doing it. Everyone's worshiping the wrong Yeshua. It's very vain today. And then, of course, we get to the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which we, thank God, we've been able to do that. 6 days you're supposed to do your work and all your labor. The seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. In it, you're not supposed to do any work. You, your son, your daughter. No one's supposed to, you know, we don't have men servants or maid servants, but if we did, they wouldn't be working today. We don't have anyone working on our properties or, you know, doing things on our land or nothing. Even your animals are supposed to rest. And if we had any strangers that weren't of God, even they're supposed to stop everything. Stop. It's very hard. In 6 days, Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And we'll probably understand that more and more as we read, even though it's a very simple sentence, it sounds like, but there's a lot there that God of the universe would actually create a day and then he blessed it and he made it special. To me, it is. He made heaven and earth. He made everything, actually. And then we have honor your father and mother. That's if they're obviously walking in the commandments of the Lord and doing what's right. You wouldn't want to honor them if they were doing the wrong thing, and there's so many things to do wrong. You honor them by telling them the truth, too. That's a good way of honoring them. There's a lot of depths to every commandment. Thou shalt not murder. We don't go around murdering anybody, spiritually or physically. If you hate your brother and sister in your heart, you're a murderer. You can murder a lot of ways. And a lot of people misinterpret that word kill. Because kill is different than murder, of course. Thou shalt not commit adultery. There's many ways to do that. You can do that physically or spiritually, right? I don't know. You could have your desires in the wrong place, or think of, you know. There's a lot of ways to commit adultery, I guess. Everybody understands the word lust, right? Concupiscence, right? That's evil sexual desires, and everybody understands, you know, looking at someone is not lusting. It's when you stay there and fantasize. That's called lust. And there's other, and lust also is also coveting. Because if you lust, you have a lust for something, you're coveting something someone else has. That could be another way of doing it. You're not supposed to steal. That's pretty simple, but it's not really, it's a little more complicated because there's many ways to steal. You could steal a lot of things. You could steal people's thoughts, their consciousness. You could steal people's, a lot of things. I could think of a lot of ways to steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's really important. Make sure everything you say against someone is true and you have witnesses, but bearing false witness would be against the commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. I don't know. I guess there are people that do that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. I guess or the husband, nor the manservant, or the maid, or his maidservant, or the, any kind of animal. They have ox, ass, or anything that's your neighbor's. Anything that's your neighbor's. So, I mean, I don't know if I've ever did that in my life, but I mean, some people, I guess, have a problem with that. They're always looking at, we wish we had that. I wish, why does that guy have that and I don't? You always hear that on the news, don't you? You hear the left always saying, you know, why don't we have everything, you know, this distribution of wealth and give us the money. We don't have to, you know, what do they got it all for? Why are you getting all the money when you're not, you know, you're doing all the work? And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, which we never seen, which I guess it would make us really snap to it if we ever seen anything like that. We never seen any thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I bet they did. I bet you they were far away. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Because I guess the Ten Commandments must have blew them away, just hearing his voice. They wanted it to stop, you know, this eternal voice, whatever that was. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And that's what we most people we meet, they have no fear of God. And we notice that all the time when we meet people that come in here. I don't believe they fear the Lord, because what they say, what comes out of their mouths, and they couldn't possibly fear God. It's a scary thing. I just happen to fear God a lot. Maybe that's why I perform the way I do. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. You know how God is always in the thick darkness? That's nice. And Jehovah said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And I wish we could just hear, wow, I'd like to hear just one word, like hello, you know, anything, just like shalom. Wow. God has talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. Wow. And it's amazing. People, I still can't figure out, and even when we were reading last night, my mind always jumps to the thoughts I have. I have many thoughts when we're reading. One of the thoughts I always think about, if you don't want to serve God, that's terrible, of course, and, you know, catastrophe. But why would you go out of your way to worship a fake God that you know is just made up by some man and somebody has cut a tree down and you're going to fall down and pray to it? I still can't figure that out. I can't understand why you wouldn't serve God, but that's bad enough. But you know, you understand what I mean? Like, why would you go after you forsake the God who did everything and you read all about all his activities and what he's done for everyone? But then you go serve something that's totally fabricated by man or made up. I still can't figure that out. The altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. See, that's just a little example how pure God is. He's beyond us. He's beyond holy, and you know, we can't even imagine how clean and holy and pure. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And you know, I can't stand that when I'm trying to watch a TV show and everything's going great, and then you know, some guy takes his shirt off. You know, that's partial nakedness. And some girl shows up, you know, not dressed properly, and we have to like change the channel and block everything. And I'm just trying to watch a little TV show to, you know, for enjoyment. And then it's just like turns into a disaster, because nakedness is nothing nowadays. Partial nakedness is sin too. Partial nakedness is sin too, because people fantasize and can start dreaming and can lust. So any type of nakedness or any kind of crazy thought, I don't fantasize about anybody on TV. That's cuckoo. Neither shalt thou go up by... Okay, I read that. So that was the giving of the law, and I'm sure there was many other things recorded because the two stones were written on both sides, right? So there must have been a lot of things written, and I guess we got them all recorded in Deuteronomy and a lot of things there. There's no, I know once it was finished, there's no oral law, which a lot of people still think there's an oral law. I have no idea where they got that from. So here we have the giving of the Spirit to the Jews. And a lot of people don't recognize this because a lot of people think their church was founded here. You ever hear people say that? People say, oh, my church was founded in the book of Acts there, chapter 2. And that's not true. Let's read it. And when the day of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, remember, Pentecost is just a word 50 for, in Greek, for 50. And it's really the Feast of Weeks. Were fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And they weren't just in any place. They happened to be with it in Jerusalem. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, which is a supernatural thing. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's probably really important right here, which a lot of people never mention, as the Spirit gives utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, of course, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So a lot of people don't see that verse. You know, I heard Church of Christ people say they were founded here, and the Pentecostals say they were founded here, and I don't even think Pentecostals today are keeping a Sabbath. I doubt that. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So that's interesting. They weren't just, you know, mumbo-jumboing there like a lot of people think. They were actually speaking in different languages where everyone understood what was being said from God. There's people, I mean, I never counted all these countries, maybe you could, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, and parts of Libya, and about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So unfortunately, at this point in time, the Jews were dispersed everywhere, and they lived everywhere around the world. And they heard the wonderful works of God, which we can't even imagine. I can't imagine what it was. I mean, I'm sure some people give messages on that, but not me. I can't figure it out. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? All this mocking. There's always the mockers. They said, these men are full of new wine. That's really sick. But I'm happy Peter was there, Brother Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day, around 9 o'clock. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon my handmaids, that's the females, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yehovah come, or the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Jehovah had said, and in the remnant whom Jehovah shall call. That's what it says in Joel. Here's what it says. It says basically the same thing in Acts. And shall come to pass in the last days. I don't know why they call it the last days, but because it's been over 2,000 years later, here we are today. And shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. So Peter can actually quote this while he's standing there. Can you imagine that? and on my servants and on my handmaids, and I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above. That's where I got the above before. And signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come, Yehovah come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, by the name of Yeshua. That's so important. And people around here even miss that. You men of Israel, you notice how he's calling them all men of Israel. They're not lost. They're right there. You men of Israel, hear these words, Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Yeshua, being delivered by the determinate counsel, and of course the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For in the Psalms, David speaks concerning him. He said, I foresaw the Lord, Jehovah, always before my face, for he's on my right hand, I shall not be moved. There it is right there. I have set Jehovah always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall also rest in hope. This right here is so important to understand, because this proves that Yeshua went down to hell and conquered hell. He says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. This is talking about the Messiah. A lot of people don't understand. Psalm 16 is very important to know. That's very important to know, to show that Yeshua rose from the dead, rose right out of hell, actually. Okay? And he even says it. It says right here, it says, then back to Acts, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And then he says, Peter goes, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David is a prophet. Now, I remember being in some Judaism classes, and they said David wasn't a prophet. David's a prophet. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Messiah to sit on the throne. You need to know that psalm, too, where it says that. I believe that's psalm, we'll have to look that up. I want to say 38, but we'll look it up. We'll make sure of that. He seen this before, he even explains it right here, like I just told you. David, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did the Messiah's flesh see corruption. That's really important to know, Psalm 16. This Yeshua had God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. So these are good verses to show, when you're talking to Jewish people, you can show them these Psalms. Say, even David said this. And it's talking about the Messiah. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this that you now see and hear. Whew. For David's not ascended into the heavens, of course. But he saith himself, Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, everyone here, know assuredly that God had made that same Yeshua, whom a lot of you people crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And of course, I can't imagine how much that would have, the conviction that would have brought upon all those people there. Could you imagine that, a message? I probably am not talking like Peter. He's probably a little more, like really bringing it home there. I'm saying it with a smile, but he's probably like, He said, because it says when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter's very bold. He goes, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's a gift of God. You know, it's different than the gift of tongues. This is the baptism. For the promise is unto you and to all your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So Peter is very bold. See, he's totally different than when before when he denied him three times. See how different he is? And with many other words did he testify in the goat, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We have to make sure we save us. You know, we want to be saved from this untoward generation too. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about, can't imagine, 3,000 people, souls. Could you imagine? I can't even imagine that. I mean,
what would that look like?
Well, you figure, let's do an example. If 3,000 people probably couldn't even fit in here, right?
No.
So.
No,
they would be like, I mean, if something like that happened, this place would be too small. Huh? That would be something I would love. I'd like to see just a half of that, or a third of that, or a little piece of that take place, huh? Yeah, a pinch of that happening. I mean, basically, we try to get people to show up here, and it's like not too successful. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of the Messiah, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. And today we'll break bread too. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And I wish we had some powers. God will give us powers to go do things to help people. That would be wonderful. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every person had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. See, they had the temple there. I wonder what the other unbelieving Jews thought when they had all these people there just praising Yeshua. They were there with one, it says, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, that's known of them, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That meat is food. Praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church, the ecclesia, the set apart to God daily such as should be saved. So they were there daily besides, like, you know, one day. The temple was available. God is available. And boom, God blesses everything. It's just like, you know, that's why I'm the kind of guy that would have been there. I would have been there every day. That's me. That would be me. I'd be there every day. I'd be there. So that was the giving of the Holy Spirit to the Jews. And then a lot of people don't understand. Now here's the giving of the baptism to the Gentiles. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band. It's a good band to be in. A devout man, one that he also feared God with all his house. Now that's really special because the whole house did. Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Praise to God always. And I was making note of this because, you know, a young man is supposed to see visions. He must have been young. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour. That's 3, 6, 9. About, what was that, 12 o'clock? Something like that. You know, approximate. It's the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. So this thing, everything that you think you're giving God, he's very aware of it. He'll give something back to you. Or, you know, if you pray or your offerings, God will, he actually hears it. He actually watches you. It came up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. So his name is Simon Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. How'd you like to have a little message like that? I always wish a prophet guy would, or woman would show up here, and you know they're for sure of God. I'd like to hear something they could tell us. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while he made ready, he fell into a trance. You know, he was having a vision. You got to try to visualize all this. And he's having this vision. He saw heaven open. So he's looking up and he sees heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him. And it had been looked like a great sheet knit from the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. All these things. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." This was spiritually he was talking, you know. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord Yehovah, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." Wow. See, God, that's the way God is. God cleanses something, don't call it common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So after this, I guess he came out of his vision. Well, Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And Peter, you know, Peter's still thinking about the vision. The Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek for you." See how you can be led of the Spirit? If you're in the Spirit, that is. "Three men seek for you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and has a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God." He was warned. I was trying to think of what that meant. "He was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into thine house and to hear words of thee." I wonder why it says he was warned. Huh? I don't understand that. Maybe it's worded different. Then called he them in and lodged with them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into the Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter said, "Whoa!" Peter took him up and said, "Stand up. I am also a man. Stand up." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And Peter said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful." This is the way it really is. Did you know it was an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? So they never did that. But God, now listen to this. This is what the whole vision, Peter was revealed, the whole thing right here. What God showed me, this is what God showed me, that I should not call any man common or unclean. So there's the whole, a lot of people, as you know, misinterpret this, and they turn it into you can eat anything. That's not what this is about. It's talking about God showed me that any man is not just common, you know, common or unclean. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me." And Cornelius said, check this out, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. You got to fast if you want to last. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and he prayed too. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Wouldn't you like to know that? Your prayer is heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Wow. I mean, God actually acknowledges you. Whew. The God of the universe. That's big. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, whom when he comes, he shall speak unto you. Immediately I sent therefore to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee of God. He wants to know what God's commanding, that he wants to be there. That's a good guy. We should meet more people like that. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord. But in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him. Isn't that nice to know? The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching shalom by Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord of all. Amen. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That's why. And we are witnesses. See, they had it. They really had it because they were actually eyewitnesses of everything. Doesn't that make you a little, wish you were there kind of thing? They actually seen the whole everything. There would be no doubt in, there wouldn't be any way to, not that you would doubt today, but I mean, he's right before your eyes. It says, and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. They hung him on a tree. See, that cross was a tree, of course. God raised up, it says, him, Yeshua, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, that's just amazing to hear about. Could you imagine knowing someone that he's telling this to all those people there, and he was a witness, and he ate with the Lord after he rose from the dead. That's big. And he commanded us to preach. Amen. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, which was ordained of God to be the judge and quick of the dead. To him, Yeshua, gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. And I can't figure out why people would think anyone else can have remission of sins any other way, when this is the only way. Right? While Peter yet spake these words, here comes the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. They shouldn't be. As it says, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Magnified God means they prophesied. They prophesied, magnified God. Praised his name. Then Peter, of course, Pete, he's really right on. He says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as you Jews? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And they prayed, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Isn't that a beautiful story? That's just when you read it nice and slow like that, you could, I know most of the church people out there read about Cornelius and they get the whole story wrong. You guys know that, right? Yeah. And it's just amazing. And some of the things that I like to emphasize, I hope it brings a little more home to you that these people, the apostles are so special to be there and witness. They're chosen witnesses of God, that he, you know, that they actually saw the Lord after his, he rose from the dead. Whew. Wow. And now, of course, blessed are they that haven't seen and yet believe. And that's what we are. So let's see the baptism in Ephesus. We're leaving Jerusalem. Apostle Paul, we're taking a little trip with him to Ephesus. Seems like he likes to go to Ephesus a lot. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. Boy, I'd like to, I wish we can go someplace and find some disciples, wouldn't, don't you? And he said unto them, have you received, listen to this, he goes, have you, he's telling these disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not heard so much as if there's any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? They never even heard of that. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Saul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Messiah Yeshua. When they heard this, they were baptized in the, they didn't fight it. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And when Paul lays his hands on them, these are the people in Ephesus, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, magnified God. Praise the Lord. And there was 12 of them. Maybe 12 more apostles. 12 more disciples, at least. Isn't that nice? Anyway, that's all I can tell you today, that the baptism is definitely available. You just have to believe. It is a gift. In closing, be safe out there, wherever you roam. One more thing in the 20th century, we one more time in the 21st century, we proclaim Happy Feast of Weeks, Happy Feast of Harvest, and Happy Pentecost. And I want to thank everyone for joining us these last 2 days. It's been a pleasure seeing our brothers and sisters, and as we join the Messiah, Yeshua, and that's who we're joining. And I thank everyone that's here, and may the Holy Spirit be upon you in the name of Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And that's all I can tell you today. The giving of the Torah and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'll get off the mic if anybody wants to say anything, and I'll stop the audio real quick.